It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the game. And oh, if you can see me, I'm standing up. Look, I'm sitting down. I'm playing air drums. I'm ready to roll. I never slow down. You never hear me and say, I wonder if JT is going to take 25 minutes to warm up. You ever hear some of those other shows? They open up the show and they ask their 6 co-hosts, what'd you do last night? What'd you get for lunch today? What'd you do today? Where'd you go get free Wi-Fi? What'd you do? What? I have a clock ticking in my head. That goes 2 hours. You take out the commercials, everything else, I'm on for like 11 minutes. I'm joking. We got a lot of partners on the show. I got to get to all of them. But this is a privilege for me to be able to talk to you every day. 27 years and counting, uninterrupted. And I'm lucky to have this gig. Lucky. Lucky that I get to talk to you every day. And when I'm done somewhere down the road, I'm done. And I'll go back to being a sports fan. But now I'm a fast-paced radio host, and I'm trying to get people motivated. You know, that's the theme of the monologue. Because we got Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders, at the bottom of the hour. We have Lee Sterling going to pick games. He was 2-1 last week. A lot of these sharps don't win ever. He was 2-1. And then Vince Sapienza, newest member to our morning show, but longtime friend and insider here. So I want to get into 3 things here in the monologue. UNLV football, which is national, and then Raiders, Browns, and then fans. All right, so let me rip, and you should be dialing now. That's how the show works. I talk for 20 minutes, you get on hold, and then we get to you. That's how it's a very simple format, man. Very simple. We throw in a couple of guests. UNLV football, the quarterback, wants more money. Okay, I don't know what he was promised. Do you, Bobby? I don't know. He says 100 grand, or if it's this or that. Let me just say a couple of things. I am UNLV friendly, which means I don't care much about UNLV, never have, but I like them. Just like I don't care about much of any of your teams, I care about my teams. I actually root against a lot of your teams. So that's my life. I'm a sports fan. My sports teams matter more to me than my jobs and everybody else other than my family. Like the Yankees mean a lot more to me than my radio career. In regards, in general. I mean, radio puts food on the table. I get that, but I care about my teams. So when it comes to UNLV, I've been here since 96, when Bill Baino was at the center bar, wink, wink, in those days, if you know what I'm talking about, to Bobby Houck, to John Robinson coming out here, everybody around, all the alumni who I graciously support and know. I get invited to some events, and I like UNLV. But I don't, Lon Kruger, the best example. I really respect Lon Kruger. But I don't wake up in the morning. I would never give more than 10 minutes or 20 minutes of content on UNLV, me at least, because they're unless they're in the Final Four in basketball, right? Unless they're playing in the Mountain West Championship in basketball, unless they're 6-0 in football, which they could be, I got more bigger things to do, like Golden Knights, Raiders, national sports, breaking news and all that. That's what I do. And there's plenty of people that like to do UNLV. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how anybody can talk UNLV for 90 minutes, but some people do. And they're very good at it, and they have a niche at doing that. That is not my niche, okay? But I will tell you about UNLV. UNLV should thank the gods above that Mark Davis moved the Raiders to Las Vegas and built something called the Legion Stadium. Okay? If the Raiders don't come here, UNLV football is still at Sam Boyd. Sam Boyd Stadium. You ever been out there? Nice place to go once a year, maybe twice a year. Back in the day, the Dead and U2 played there. Pretty cool. And I love what they did with the Las Vegas Bowl with the great John Cicente. But now they're playing, and UNLV's playing at Allegiant Stadium. Do you know how big that is? Do you know how huge that is? And we're sitting here talking about the Mountain West to play with San Jose State? Oh, my God. So how do I research the show? How do I host the show? I just call the biggest boosters at UNLV, some of them. I call the biggest guys at UNLV, former players, boosters, big people. And I just listen. I sit back and listen. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Well, there's a mismatch going on with this quarterback. Either the quarterback was promised something and they didn't give it to him, or the quarterback wasn't promised something, or maybe a coach instead of the head coach said something. It's really muddy. It's really bizarre. It's kind of weird, but any Division I program, I'm just talking quarterbacks here, every Division I program, from Texas Tech to UNLV to Boise State to Michigan, you have to have a budget to pay your quarterback. If not, you're low rent, you're nobody, you're minor league. I don't care what you pay the defensive end. I don't care what you pay your center. I need to know on paper what you're paying your quarterback. Now, there's no rules. There's no rules. The NCAA put out a statement. Hey, man, we'd like to get involved with this, but we have no authority over NIL. Holy crap. You're the NCAA, a governing sanction in college, and you're basically saying, my son, who's actually in the NIL business, my son knows more than the NIL business at 23 years old than the NCAA knows. And I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. So you got that going on. So I start to call these boosters. What should happen here? The quarterback, yeah, it's unfortunate. We're getting bad press. Well, where's the press conference? Where's the press conference? Where is the press conference? I don't know. Why is this thing leading on SportsCenter and on Nightline? Where's the press conference? I don't know. I don't work at UNLV. The people over there are very good at what they do. So here's what I think in a nutshell. The Mountain West is garbage. I repeat, the Mountain West is garbage. It used to not be garbage back in the day because the Mountain West has good teams and good programs and really good players and coaches and parents. But let me put this in perspective. If you're not in the Big Ten, the SEC, or the Big 12, you're irrelevant with this stadium. Now, if you play at Sam Boyd, play in the Mountain West all you want. Play in the fake new Pac-12. And I like the Pac-12, I think, more for UNLV. I actually do. But that ship might sail or whatever happens there. So someone told me today, not in confidence, to say on the radio or just to start thinking about it, UNLV better find their way to the Big 12. Because the Big 12 is going to add some teams, and UNLV better, I repeat, they better fly everyone in the Big 12 and put them in a penthouse from Caesars to the MGM to Circa and say, we want to get out of the Mountain West eventually and go to a bigger conference, or you are wasting that stadium. Now, I won't go as far to say, because I don't want this taken out of context. We live in an era of clips now. People clip what I say. They clip 6 seconds. They clip 12. But UNLV, if you can't take advantage of that stadium that Mark Davis handed to you, along with the help of a lot of people, and Mark Davis is very UNLV friendly, and Sandra Douglas Morgan and the organization are great with UNLV, and they have a great relationship. I'm just talking radio here. UNLV, your quarterback wants to quit? Okay, that's a big topic. Who's your next quarterback? Big topic. It's time to take advantage of that stadium and get your ass to a big conference and play in big games and not worry about San Jose State and whoever's playing and the other small schools. So that's all I got to say. I don't care who the quarterback is. Don't care. I hope they win. I would love to go to a UNLV big game this year. I like UNLV. But we're national news now. Is it embarrassing? No, I don't think it's embarrassing. A college kid was either promised something that he didn't get or thought he was getting something that he didn't get. Money got involved. The agent got involved. Go red shirt. They're not going to pay you what you think. He quits on the team. He quit on the team. Quit. Quit on the team. On his teammates that he works out with and tries, goes to meetings with. And UNLV needs to put together a beautiful, ready for this? Beautiful buttoned up press conference. And explain this to everybody because Paul Feinbaum and Stephen A. Smith, who don't care much about UNLV, are going to frame this whole thing. Oh, yeah. Okay, they're going to frame it their way and it'll be too late. So wanted to jump in on that. Man, I got worked up on that because I like UNLV to do well. I want to see plenty of kids that grew up in my backyard and played at Gorman or were around town here. I think I like the coach, Barry Odom. I think this is a real football coach who's a very good football coach. All right, topic number two, the Raiders and the Browns. I said it earlier in the week, it's a must-win game. It's a must-win game if you want to do something special this year. If you want to do something like compete for a wild card, which the Raiders at 1-2 are competing for a wild card, fact, not fiction, you have to win this game. You have to win this game because you blew it against Carolina. You no-showed against Carolina. You didn't show up. The fans showed up. The coach looked me in the eyes and told me to my face in our interview. I opened up the interview talking about his strong comments and how the team reacted. We put the game behind us. But the game against Carolina, I believe, was the worst game ever played since the Las Vegas Raiders broke ground and moved here. Period. And there's a few of them. But there's a lot of great games, too. And you know, we're Raider friendly here. There's a lot of good games at Allegiant Stadium. So what do they have to do to win the game? Normally, I have very strong opinions on balancing out the offense. Who to get the ball to, right? Devontae. Play with pace. I always tell you about that. I have failed you. I have failed you over the last 3 weeks. I don't know this team. I told you coming out of Costa Mesa, I didn't see the offense do much at all. The offense didn't do much in the preseason at all. And then the season jumped on them, and they played an amazing 12 minutes and 10 seconds in Baltimore to beat the Ravens to get to 1-1. They took that football equity of being 1-1, and they threw it in the trash. Threw it away. And now they put more pressure on them to beat Cleveland. Cleveland is also in a lot of unique situations. I tweeted out their injury report. Wow. Not many teams in football have more injuries than the Raiders. And the ones who do are the Rams, the 49ers, and the Browns. The Browns have more injuries than the Raiders. And some pretty high-profile ones. We know Max is at 100%. We know Myles Garrett is at 100%. But the offensive line for Cleveland is just beaten down. And they're putting in backup tackles. All right, they're a mess. The Raiders have to win this game because of that. We cannot have another team suffering bad times like Carolina come in and feast on the Raiders. Carolina feasted on the Raiders. If they would have won 27-24... we could have lived with it. We would have said, look, man, the game got away. Raiders came back. They almost won. They played really good. Look at Bowers. Nothing to show from the game other than Trey Tucker having a pretty good game. Players got called out from the coach for making business decisions. That's pretty strong. So you had all that just went down. They have to play a great game. Now, are they capable of playing a great game? That leads me to my third topic off the monologue, brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue, best happy hour in town, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. It's unbelievable. Wherever you are in the valley, there's a PTs, there's a Sierra Gold, the Sean Patrick's, a great American pub. They got this unbelievable happy hour special. Drive responsibly, but you know what I'm talking about. It's unbelievable. In this town, where they're charging you $24 a cocktail, everywhere you go, that's the best deal in town. PT's happy hour. So finally, I go to the fans. I'm no longer being careful with Raider fans who are just off the reservation. They're mostly anonymous. You never see them. They don't even put their picture in their profile picture on social media. I mean, they're the most anonymous of the most anonymous. Fortunately, they make up a small, tiny minority of the Raider Nation. Everybody else, we had a line coming out the building of Whiskey taking selfies, pictures. Everybody loves the show. Everybody knows what I do. Everybody knows where to find me. Everybody knows I'm all around town. But now I'm dealing with Raider fans who think before the game the team's going to lose. We have to corral those Raider fans, corral them, and be nice to them and try to bring them back in because they're jumping ship already. I don't know what the number is. I don't know the algorithm, but they're out there. And what they're doing is they're bringing a lot of negativity to the conversation. But they don't think they're being negative. They think they're being smart. They say, JT, go yell at Mark Davis. JT, go yell at the coach. JT, go get fired and stand outside one right away and we'll send you an Uber. And you'll never work there again. There are people who want that to happen. And I mean dead serious. I say that. I turn that down. I'm here to pump up the Raider fans Monday to Friday. See what happens on Sunday. I host the pre and post game. I'm on the front lines of all of this. I truly believe the Raiders are a better team than their record. They're 1-2. I did not imagine that there'd be so many 1-2 teams in the league this year. I never imagined that there'd be so many teams in the league who are clearly better than the Raiders already and have a worse record than the Raiders. Two examples, Cleveland, pretty much the same record. Jacksonville, 0-3. Cincinnati, 0-3. I think if you listen closely, I said over the summer, Raiders are going to beat Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's highly overrated. Who's in a worse spot tonight? The Miami Dolphins without Tua until week 8 with one win or the Raiders? Right? So that's what I'm dealing with now. I'm trying to find a way for the Raiders to win this game. It's much harder than I thought for two reasons that I jotted down. One, the injuries to the team. I've been very concerned with the injury report. I often say I'm not the host of the practice squad show. I host the big boy show, not the practice squad podcast. Okay, if you're on the practice squad, you're part of the team, we need you. You bring up Snowden, you bring Webb in, these are starters, you get them in the game, I'm good with that. The stars on this team need to show up. Okay? So here I go. There are a couple of players that have to show up in this game. Number one is Gardner Minshew. By all accounts, he's going to start this game. By all accounts today. He has got to play a great game. Not an average game. Not manage the game. He's got to have a great game. He's got to go out and throw for 300 yards, which is not hard to do. 300 yards is not hard to do with Bowers. Devontae should have 110. Bowers should have 70. I just got you to 180. Okay? I didn't mention Big Mike. I didn't mention Jacoby. I didn't mention Trey on a 58-yard bomb. Get me 300 yards. Number two, I'm going to package two guys together here that are really important. And this is going to be interesting. This is about as hard as I go on this. Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones. Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs are really good players on the Raiders. They're not great players around the league in regards to, you know, the great corners, the great slot corners. They could be. Nate Hobbs could be a Pro Bowler. But I need Nate Hobbs to play four quarters. Jack Jones to play four quarters. Because this coach has put his name on those guys in regards to how much he likes those guys and how important they are. And then finally, Tyree Wilson. This is an enigma. I don't even know how to describe this guy. PFF thinks he does good sometimes. Other times, he doesn't do good. To me, two sacks is a minimum for the 7th pick overall in the draft. All right? I'm not asking for one sack every four games stuff. He's got to have a big game. And then finally, Zamir White. Whoa, what's going on here? Well, you can go in one of two camps. Number one, the holes aren't there for him. The scheme isn't good, which is seeming to be an issue here. But Zamir's going down too quickly. The first guy that hits him is bringing him down. That ain't Josh Jacobs. Okay, I'm not saying he's got to be Earl Campbell or Eric Dickerson or Marcus Allen, but this guy's got to break a tackle. And he should be able to do it against Cleveland. One of the comments from Coach Pierce is on the power to zone running. I don't know why this is such a big issue right now as we sit here and we're ready to go and we're trying to figure out the scheme of the offensive line. Listen to this.
Yeah, we're watching it firsthand. You guys have seen it, right? It's a learning curve and we're still going through the process. And at the end of the day, you know, you can be a scheme team. You can be a player-driven team. You can be a what works team. And we need to become what works for the Raiders.
Okay, that soundbite concerns me. It really does. Because I'm a very, very positive coach, as you know. This is the right coach at the right time. Luke Getsy comes in. He's the offensive coordinator. Offensive line coaches. We are now second-guessing. And I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, so I'll say I'm second-guessing, or you, the fans, are. What's with this offensive line scheme? Why wasn't that cleaned up in Costa Mesa or at the indoor practices or out in Henderson? It's because they had a plan. And as they say, when Mike Tyson says, it's great having a plan until you get punched in the face, that's the pure example of that cliche. That comment is that the Raiders had a plan for their offensive line. It was a strong plan. They brought it at meetings. They had drafts. They drafted DJ Glaze. They decided to re-sign Andre James. Colt Miller had surgery. They didn't play him. They sat him out, right? They drafted Jackson Powers Johnson. So that's the plan and strategy. Very good, very firm plan and strategy. They put that offensive scheme and line on the field. They're getting obliterated. Whoa, where'd that come from? I thought these guys knew the snap count. I thought they knew how to attack the defensive line of scrimmage. They can't do it. Now we're going to change it up? I'm not a coach. Fix it, change it. Fix it, change it. Do what you got to do. But I thought that was very interesting on what's going to happen with the team going forward. What is the plan of the offensive line? Is it a good plan? Is it a sound plan? I normally think in sports, the manager in baseball, the head coach in football and college, the head coach in hockey, they all are all great. They're professionals. They got a great plan. They get paid to put game plans together. And they work 14 hours a day and don't come home to see their kids and wives. They work around the clock. The plan is a good plan until it doesn't work. We've been through 3 games this year. We know that the defense is the strong point, other than giving up a couple of big plays in the running game. J.K. Dobbins and Andy Dalton ripped them apart. Did you hear what I just said? J.K. Dobbins ran it down their throat, and Andy Dalton picked them apart. So that's that. And then when it comes to the offense is trying to run the ball, and they can't. And I don't fault them for that, man. They got a plan. They're trying to run it. It's not working. It's only 3 weeks. Give them time to fix it. But it seems like they're running out of time, and they got to work it for Cleveland. So if anybody has ever in their life had the balls to come up to me face-to-face and say, I don't criticize this team, I don't go hard, you're done. Go back and rewind the last 20 minutes. Nobody wants this team to win more than me from a media perspective because I'm not a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I want them to win. I'm completely embedded with this team. I want them to win every game. I want them to win. That's all I care about. But, you know, if you're in my seat today, you see what we're trying to do here. We're trying to kind of be critical, figure out what's going to work next, and then get everybody together on the same page because there's going to be a lot of Cleveland fans in that building. And the Cleveland fans standing online getting a Modelo is going to laugh if a Raider fan sitting behind him saying before the game starts, oh, we got no chance. We're dead. We're not going to win this game. We're a joke. No, that's not a Raider fan. You know who I'm talking to, the diehard Raider Nation, who supported this show from day one. They want to win at all cost, and you got to get a win. So we're into Thursday. We got Jason Horowitz coming up here in 5 minutes. If you call in, tell me how the hell they're going to win this game. Let's get specific and roll up our sleeves. I just got out of the pool 40 minutes ago. Had a nice coffee. I'm all pumped up. I'm ready to go. Tell me how they're going to win the game. And if you don't think they can win the game, stay off the show. Call the post-game show Sunday because when they lose, that's kind of when I need a couple calls. When I'm sitting in the building by myself and I think they're going to win this game. I'm very excited for the Raiders to have their dress rehearsal do-over home opener against the Browns. That's the monologue. Raider Dave in Denver, always a good start. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, thank you, JT. I think you outlined it pretty dang well. I don't have the fourth down stats in front of me when they went for it, but I think I remember them only going for a pass once. But I do know that they have not made a fourth down, fourth and one, fourth and two all season. It is infuriating me, and I am going to lose my mind the next time that any play they choose, fourth and one, fourth and two, or a two-point play, is not Gardner Minshew turning to his left, holding the ball out with his right hand, looping back around, and getting Bowers to go to the right side. I mean, there's no option available for what Getsy is calling on fourth down. This is your ticket to winning this game. They have got to stay on the field. They've got to make fourth downs. They're going to get, you know, they're ahead of the chains type of plays to where they get to a fourth and short. Yeah, they should go for it when they're, you know, inside between the 40s. But if they can't come up with all of Costa Mesa, the summer, everything else, with a play that is a guaranteed play for them to get 2 yards, then I don't know where this team is going to go.
Hey, Dave, I said this all year, and I said it in Costa Mesa. On fourth and one or third and two, why isn't Minshew sprinting right? Sprinting right. It's called the design rollout. He's sprinting to his right, his throwing arm, and Bowers is trailing across the middle, and Mike Mayer's doing a 4-yard in route, and Jacoby's doing a 2-yard out route, and he's just running with the ball, and if no one's open, then he puts his head down and dives for the first down. Like, that to me is basic Gardner Minshew football. You have a mobile quarterback, move the pocket, do not start a running back 7 yards deep and try to get a foot by starting 7 yards deep and telling the upper deck you're handing it off up the middle. That can't happen anymore.
No, it can't. I mean, I've only coached amateur football. I'm not a pro coach, but my goodness, there's got to be somebody in the building telling him this. You know, Getsy, we've got to come up with a 2-yard play somehow. And you're exactly right. You have to have the option of Minshew using his legs. That's why you put him back there. Thank you, JT.
Thank you. I mean, it's not hard. And again, I talk about this a lot with fans. I want Getsy to do well. Getsy's drawn up a lot of plays. Getsy put the 12 personnel, 2 tight end install in. It's been installed. Does everybody hear the word install? That's all I heard this offseason. We're doing the install. It's all been installed. The offensive line's not blocking. So Luke Getsy's calling plays behind an offensive line that's not doing their job. So it makes fourth and one difficult. It makes third and two interesting. Because they don't have a go-to play like Tom Flores and John Madden had with Dave Kasper. How would you like to have Dave Kasper on third and two? How'd you like to have him? Well, Dave Kasper was a Hall of Famer. Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers, at the same age as Dave Kasper, at the same age, can do everything Dave Kasper did other than Dave being a better blocker. They can catch the ball, get the ball to him. Jason Horowitz is the voice of the Raiders. He'll join us next.
Yeah, no, a lot of that's on me. You know, I think I've had like 4 of our 5 turnovers or whatever this year. I have to do a better job. You know, if I take care of the ball, we're usually going to be all right. And that's going to be a big emphasis for us this week.
That's Gardner Minshew as we are back. And we're brought to you by Remy Martin. And the local pro teams have one thing in common. Every accomplishment requires teamwork. It takes more than one person to win a championship, and it takes more than one person to create an exceptional cognac. Just like our local sports teams, Remy Martin strives for excellence. Remy Martin, team up for excellence responsibly. Thrilled to talk to Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders. And I think you needed a couple of days to get that loss off you. Now we're on to Cleveland. Is that fair?
Did you? I mean, you were in the booth, JT, and you always do at home games. You come up for the third quarters and then get ready for your show post game. And I think you saw it in my face. I mean, and it's, you know, listen, I'm the voice of the team, and we're describing what's happening. And you know this. I didn't grow up with this team, and I was not a fan of the Raiders as a child or anything like that. But I'm now in year 3 of being fully invested. Mm-hmm. And the disappointment, you saw it on my face the same way that all the fans did. The only difference was I wasn't booing. And it was just, it was hard. It was definitely hard to take and tough to watch. And I think the players totally felt it too. And hopefully that team meeting that they had changes some things.
Yeah, what I like about your many things of your broadcast style is you'll remind the audience during the broadcast what needs to happen. So you'll say to Lincoln going, well, they got to get something going on this drive. You saw the game in real time kind of slipping away as they came out to start the second half and went 3 and out. And you're looking at the clock going, hey, if they don't get a stop or if they don't score on the next drive, this game is getting away from the Raiders. And that was the most shocking thing about the Carolina loss, that they were never really in the game after the second quarter. That's what hurt me the most.
Well, you know, so in the two losses so far this season, Los Angeles and then on Sunday, think about where the Raiders ended up. I mean, really, think about where the game slipped away. In L.A., it was 7-3, 2 minutes to go, have the ball on the move, and then Gardner loses the fumble when he tries to tuck it and maybe make a different pass. And it was just a total accident and a total mistake and nothing that's really probably ever going to happen again this year. But the Chargers recovered, got a field goal, and so the Raiders did not execute in the last 2 minutes of the first half there. And then last week, the Raiders get the ball back. They're down 14-7. They have a minute 50 or so to go. They have a couple timeouts, and they're going to get the ball to start the third quarter. And, all right, here's a chance. Great opportunity, right? Go down 14-10, tie it up 14-all, get the ball back. And instead, they go three and out, JT. The Panthers score. Adam Thielen's touchdown. It's 21-7. It's like, holy cow, that can't happen. And so, you know, we talk about 4 minutes in games all the time, right? Whether it's 4 minutes within a quarter or the last 2 minutes of the second and the first 4 minutes of the third. And it just hasn't gone well in that regard in their two losses.
Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders, joins us. So we go to Cleveland. We had Andrew Siciliano on already, and they are decimated. I mean, really decimated. It's the Rams, the Niners, and the Browns who have the most players either on IR or hurt the most. But the Raiders are not too far behind. And I told you at the Torch, I'm concerned about the Raiders' injury report. If you start looking at Max nicked up and Diablo wasn't ready to go and Colt Miller is not 100%, no chance he's 100%. He's still working through it. I mean, this team's got to get out of the tub and they got to play. And I know the players who are banged up will try to go. But as you prepare for this matchup against Cleveland, what jumps out at you? Is it their interior offensive line, which is vulnerable?
It's funny that you had Siciliano today. Cleveland Radio, Browns Radio Network had me on. So it must be like, hey, find out what the other guy says today. but you know, I haven't looked at the Rams Niners injury report. So I don't remember calling an NFL game where you look at a Wednesday injury report and 1/3 of the active roster is on the injury report, you know, and legitimately, not just NIL or rest, like all injured. Like they have 16 guys yesterday. And I know Myles Garrett and David Njoku were back at practice today, so that stands out. But, like, you know, for the Raiders, look, Christian Wilkins was on the injury report last week too, and Max clearly isn't 100%. You know you're going to get everything you have for Max, but he can't. He can't play at his level if he can't move the way that he moves, you know, and that doesn't just affect the pass rush. I think the thing that Lincoln and I talk about all the time with Max is how good he is in the run game. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll make two or three plays a game where he comes down, whether he's blocked by a tight end or blocked by nobody because they're going away from him, and he comes screaming down the line and makes a tackle for loss or right at the line. And, like, that's a big deal. You know, if you're running on 1st and 10 and it's 2nd and 10, or you're running on 2nd and 7, and it's 3rd. It's like, those are big plays within games. And he didn't have that last week. And, you know, no Malcolm Kuntz, you're to Luke Masterson. And then if that didn't work, they went to Amari Gaynor at times. And, you know, and I like Amari Gaynor, but I don't know where he is in terms of being ready to go to help this team. And obviously Marcus Epps is a big loss. So,
yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's a really big one. And I believe in Isaiah Polamalu. I'm with Antonio Pierce. I believe he has a chance to be really good. But Marcus Epps is a big one with the communication he provides.
Jason Horowitz is our guest. You're right about that. The other thing that concerned me that has to get cleaned up, because Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper are the wide receivers here, that those Carolina Panthers were running quick slants.
Yeah.
And when they were catching it, the corner was toast. As soon as the catch, they weren't going to tackle. And then these guys drifted to the middle of the field, and Spillane's having a hell of a year. But I didn't see a lot of pursuit in the middle of the field, and that's what we heard from Rich Gannon. And Eric Allen made the point right after the game Sunday, after I think he was done talking to you in the tunnel, the team, we're back to the middle of the field again. Like, we've been dealing with this middle of the field stuff for a year or two. I thought it got cleaned up really well by Patrick Graham, who's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and his principles and his strategy is strong. But in the last game, Jason, man, the middle of the field was wide open in the passing game.
Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, JT, you talked about that all the time when Denzel Perryman, and he got hurt at the end of the year, but, like, at 2022, my first year, we really struggled over the middle. Last year, I'm with you, it was a lot better. You know, Sunday kind of looked, remember last year in Buffalo when there was no hope of stopping the Bills and they were going 9, 10, 11 play drives, and it wasn't like anything where they're getting 30, 40-yard plays. It was like 8-yard play, 7-yard play, 12-yard play, 6-yard play. That's kind of what Sunday looked like. Except you understand it when you're talking about one of the five best quarterbacks in Josh Allen. You don't expect it when you're talking about Andy Dalton. So that's, I think, the biggest concern there. The middle of the field is certainly going to be a problem. It, look, if David Njoku is healthy, and he hasn't been yet, if he's healthy Sunday, that's a tight end weapon that Carolina did not have. You know, he's a Pro Bowl tight end from a year ago. So that's another athletic problem that the Raiders are going to have to deal with. You know, this all comes down to the same thing that we are having. You know, we're struggling to protect Gardner Minshew, and you know, Cleveland doesn't think they have a shot in the world to protect Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun's out there saying, hey, I'm not a runner. I don't want to be a runner. I'm not going to run the football. I don't know if that's real or not. But the Raiders haven't really gotten after the quarterback other than Max. And I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're going to have to do that because the Browns offensive line, we think we're decimated on defense. They had nobody that's available on the outside for them, and I don't know if their starters are going to be ready to go this weekend.
Well, we'll give you an opportunity to change your mind at the torch for the pregame show when you come to us right out of the gate, but what is your key to the game? What are they have to win this game. Have to. This is not the one game the whole year that wasn't a gimme, but was the one win they had to have was Carolina. I know they're going to win, lose games. And when the schedule came out, I didn't think they would be a favorite against Cleveland until the circumstances. What's the one thing you think they'll improve on to win this game Sunday?
Well, they weren't, JT, right? They weren't a favorite on Sunday or Monday, and now they're a couple-point favorite, right? That line has moved pretty drastically since Monday. You know, for whatever reason, I know you're more well adept at that conversation than I am. I don't ever do wins losses to start the year for this specific reason. Last year, when you look at the Jets, you're like, oh, that game's going to be really hard with Aaron Rodgers. And then he was done four plays in. When you look at our game this year in Miami, you're like, ah, Tua in the offense, and he might be done, right? So, like, I never look at those specific things. You work get them as a week or two ahead of time. And Cleveland doesn't look like a team that's going to be great. They look kind of like, hey, they're beatable, but so are we, right? So this is 50-50 toss-up for me.
But
they got to figure out a way to stop the run. I think I'm giving up at the moment on us being a great running team. Let's give up on that for a moment. Can we stop the run? Because in L.A., for 2.5 quarters, they couldn't run the ball at all, the Chargers. Mm. And then it broke open and the game was gone. In Baltimore, the game was right there for the taking because the Ravens had 9 yards rushing in the first half, and then it felt like it was about to get away because the Ravens started running the football.
Mm-hmm.
Can the Raiders stop the run against a Cleveland team that has not been able to run? And if they can, I think this is going to be a game the Raiders can win.
Safe travels. We'll see you out here. Thanks for this.
Can't wait, man. It's going to be fun.
You got it. Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders. He's really good. He's really good, and you hear his call. We got a great voice. That was brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. America's original craft vodka. It's one of the best success stories you'll ever hear. Distilled on the same land where it all started in Austin. Tito's is made from corn and naturally gluten-free. Tito's Handmade Vodka makes the good stuff for good times. Tito'sVodka.com. It's my go-to vodka. No doubt about it. I can't believe I have a partnership with Tito's, my go-to vodka.
Everybody's just trying to figure it out. I think defenses typically get rolling a little bit sooner, and I feel like defense, I could be making this up, but just based off my my observation, I feel like there's less turnover on defense as far as coordinators and coaches as well, too. So, like, our situation, we coming in with a new coordinator and new offense, and we got carryover from the, you know, and our defense is looking a lot better than our offense right now. So that's how it goes, and sometimes it takes a little bit more time to find a rhythm. It's harder to move it than stop it, you know, as far as, you know, my experience. So We just got to figure out what we got to do and hopefully be on the other side of that.
All right, that's Devontae Adams. We're brought to you by Tequila Commissario. It's the most awarded tequila. When people come to my house, they see it when they walk in. The bottles look like art. It's amazing. The Reserve's the best tequila I've ever tried. It's the Ferrari of tequila, the single highest quality. 100% all natural, handcrafted tequilas. Tequila Commissario is a proud partner of our show and Raider Nation Radio. Tequila Commissario is right in the middle of Raider Nation. We're thrilled to bring in Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, 2-1 last week. And Lee, I remember it more than anybody. Minnesota over Houston, you saw something with the Texans and they got blown out by the Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, this defense, Flores heading it, is really good. And Sam Darnold, maybe there's still some magic there.
Yeah, it was incredible to see. I got to take Minnesota seriously. All right, let's begin. You're giving us a monster right out of the gate here. And everybody, ParamountSports.com, you get 3 free picks by a professional. I can't believe you're picking the Georgia game. Georgia, I think you got it -2.5. Alabama here. Alabama's normally a favorite in Bryant Denny Stadium. And the game doesn't feel like an elimination game because it's not. Whoever loses this game is still going to make the playoffs. How do you see it?
Well, that's why we wanted to watch the game. These are two incredibly talented teams. Both teams have great quarterbacks. Carson Beck's probably going to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft next year. And then Jalen Milroe, probably the number 1 dual threat quarterback in college football. Ton of good running backs. I mean, Georgia interchanges 4 or 5 guys. Bama goes with Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. This might come down to one play here, and if it does, maybe true freshman Ryan Williams for Alabama, who reclassified, should still actually be in high school, is the guy. I mean, his 10 catches, he already has 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia thought that they had a replacement here at wide receiver for Ladd McConkey, but Dominic Lovett has yet to reach the end zone on his 9 catches. The home team, when top 5 teams match up, 17 out of 27 wins here. I'm going to say the wrong team favorite. I like Alabama outright, 27-24.
Alabama outright. Lee Sterling, Alabama outright against Georgia. All right, here's another big one. Baltimore -3 against Buffalo. Now, you know trap games better than anybody. It just felt like Buffalo on Monday night, that was a big spot for them. Man, they looked good. I mean, they looked as good as any team in football. And as you know, the Raiders beat Baltimore in Baltimore, and that was a bit of a wake-up call for them as they got a big win. I think this is a really tough game. Baltimore, why are they favored? Walk me through this one.
Well, you get the 3 points for being at home, so that's probably the reason here. And, you know, Buffalo, if they're going to have a game they lose, this is not a division game here. But Josh Allen right now has to be the MVP after 3 games if they did the voting. Looks like he doesn't even miss Stephon Diggs. But as good as their offense has been, they do have some problems and I think some weaknesses on defense. Matt Milano's out for the year, Terrell Bernard. Their 2 best linebackers will not play in this game here. And Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry here, they looked really good. Midseason form, if you watched the game last week. If you just looked at the score, little misleading. Baltimore played some soft zones when they got that 3-touchdown lead here. So this is a must-win game for Baltimore if they want to make the playoffs. Can't start 1-3. I like Baltimore, 31-27.
All right, Baltimore, yep. 31-27, they win, and they cover the spread. Here's an interesting game that you have, your final NFL game, Detroit, -4.5 against Seattle. This, to me, is the game that's most important. I picked Detroit to win the Super Bowl this year. Big line movement there. I thought the line opened up at Detroit -6. So what's happening here as you dived into this line, and I think you got Detroit -4.5. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it looks like Seattle's defense is much improved this year. So everyone thought also they're bringing in a college offensive coordinator. They may not be as good, but I think these fresh ideas really have taken hold. And, I mean, Geno Smith leading the league in passing percentage. They're wide receivers. I think they have an edge over a mediocre Detroit secondary. Detroit made a lot of changes in the secondary, but I don't think they're that much better. So I think that they'll be able to score Seattle. Their defense, not allowing 3.9 yards per rush, allowing 3.9 yards per snap here. I think this game goes down to the wire, and Seattle stays unbeaten and knocks off Detroit 26-25. Seattle plus the 4.5.
Wow. Seattle outright in that game. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. All right, your game of the week. Kansas City, big favorite against the Chargers here. I think Kansas City should be 1-2. Referee, home cooking. They tackled Pitts in the end zone. They tackled him in the end zone, and there was no call there in Atlanta. Cousins would have won that game here. And the Chargers, I know that you keep an eye on injuries. Justin Herbert's ankle. How do we get this game?
Well, we're going to give it to the first five callers. All they need to do is call 800-400-9741. First five callers will give them Kansas City and the Chargers. Does Kansas City roll? Do they finally have an easy win? Or can the Chargers keep it close or maybe pull off the shocker? 800-400-9741. And check out all the specials. We have our biggest play in college football going on Saturday. We are 66-24 lifetime on our 40 to 50 unit plays. This will be a 45 unit major wager release. So you want to hop on board. Check out all the specials. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. ParamountSports.com.
800-400-9741. First five callers get it for free. Lee Sterling, see you next week, Lee.
Okay, thanks, JT.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, man. Wow, I've been talking to friends about the Sharps, and he was 2-1 last week. He had a 3-0 week with us, and, you know, weeks go up and down. The professional gamblers, the pros, are getting hammered. The amateurs are getting destroyed in the Survivor contest. I don't know how you do it. I don't bet. But I got a lot of friends who bet, and I try to put people like Lee on the radio because I think the only way you can win money gambling, and I'm not telling you you have to buy everybody's picks. Why would I? But you better have someone who knows more than you picking football games for you because you got no chance. You might win 2 weeks in a row. You might win three. You're going to give it all back because you don't know what you're doing compared to the pros, and the pros are getting their ass kicked. I don't know how you do it. But a lot of people they don't care about losing money, Bobby. You know, I hate that. I'm in the stock market every day. Bigger than a football game for me every day. And I guess that's gambling too, but I think I have a little bit of idea of the calendar, certain companies. But man, gambling on football. You guys and gals who do, there are a lot of gals who do it now. They walk around with these selfies. I won't go there. Don't go there. I don't want to go there on the gals who are doing it. I'm not going to go there. Thanks to our YouTubers. Hey, I'm going to be on a live stream with Damon Bruce at 3 o'clock. Go to Damon Bruce's YouTube channel. It's going to be on the history of the Coliseum and the memories we have as the A's are playing their final game today.